Welcome to our show. This is your host, David Yanis, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of our broadcast. Thank you for tuning in with us. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You can always reach us on our prayer line at 888. Again, that's 888-642-4767. And our email is david@revmedianetwork.com. Just want to give a shout out to my friends in Atlanta and in South Carolina, Augusta, South Carolina. We will be visiting out there. We'll be visiting out there this next in November. We'll be out scheduled. I'll be on the shows of Watchmen Broadcasting and be on Club 36. And then I'm also going to be on. Atlanta Live. So we have a few things we're working on. Believing God's gonna bring us one more place so we can be on there, and we're trying to get this thing rolling. So we're trying to get going, my friends. Trying to make things happen. Trying to make God just more than what we have to be, and more than what we are, more than what we need to be. Have you ever had questions about what God can do in your life? You ever thought of why of asking God questions? Why? What's happening? It's okay to ask God questions. I told you that I took 4 days to figure out the broadcasting. But we're not just talking about getting questions in life of where to go and what to do next. But you ever wanted to ask God why? Why? Why is this happening? Why are the things in my life changing so much? Why can't I get ahead of where I need to be? You ever had those questions and stuff? I'm going to play an interview for you today that I think is going to bless you. It's going to encourage you. It's going to change some of the ways you're thinking. It's going to give you some ideas. And it's Karen Jensen and her book, Why God Why. If you watch Rev Media TV, if you watch any of the programs, we actually have a book channel called Rev Pub TV. Rev Pub TV. And you'll be able to see this Rev Pub TV, and you'll be able to see all the stuff that's happening in there. And I tell you what, my friends, it has it's what Rev Pub TV is. It has a it's all books, all 24/7. So it has videos of books. It has different things. And I'm excited to announce that we added 40 something churches, almost 60 churches, to the Rev Media TV platform. Literally overnight, and they're going to be all added in there. And we're going to see some amazing things happen. And the book channel was needing more memory, more spaces, and everything, but I hadn't upgraded yet, and I just did doing the upgrade the next 2 days, and we're going to be able to put more book stuff. So my goal is to create a book channel that is reaching, that is ministering to people, that not only are they going to sell you books, praise God, I mean, that's going to be good, but they're going to give you something more. They're going to give you, they're going to encourage you. You're going to realize that God has books and stuff for you that will encourage and shape your life. This last month, we've had so many people come across the station with some good books. In fact, we're interviewing Mr. Davis Bunn today, and that's who we missed last week. We missed him last week, but we got him today, and we're going to talk to him about his latest book, Unlimited, and he's going to be giving us a call around 11:35 Central Standard Time, our time, and we're excited to have him. Now, saying that, there's so many good books that I want to bring to you, but I don't have enough time. I don't do enough live shows to do this. I have over 60, maybe even 70 interviews of books that I've done over just for audio that you have not even heard, or you've heard sporadically throughout the year. So I've been purposing my heart, what can I do with this? And now I'm starting to get videos for this, and we have a lot of book people, a lot of book industry people call me. So I'm going to create a little caveat of a book channel that just focuses on books and focuses on videos of the books and interviews of the books. So we're going to start with that, and I'm excited about that because there's so many good things out there that are going to be a blessing to you. So let me go real quick to Miss Karen Jensen, and we're going to let her talk to you a little bit about what she's been doing. But I had her at the ICRS. She was wonderful, and I'm sure you're going to be blessed as well with her.
This is your host, David Yanis, and I'm sitting with the beautiful Karen Jensen. How are you doing, darling?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. She's written a book called Why God, Why? And that's pretty nice. She has a lot of history. Before we jump into the book, I'm just going over everything she's accomplished and what she's done. And I'm going to let her tell you. Just give us some background about you.
Well, I have some history in writing. I've been a television news writer and a radio writer, and I've written for newspaper and publishing. But I'm thankful to be using my gift now in the ministry. I've written for several ministries and their magazines.
Oh, wow. So what kind of magazines, what kind of ministries?
Kenneth Hagin Ministries or Robert.
Reputable.
Yeah, large ones.
Yeah, those
that
are
have
those
writers.
Are, that's good. And so this is going to be your first book.
Yes, my first book.
And why now? It's like, why now, though? It's like you've done it for many years.
I know.
As a ghostwriter.
I always
see that a lot. I have a good friend, Malcolm Burton, and he's ghostwritten for a lot of people, and
yes.
He's never gotten a book. In fact, getting his book or publishing his book for him, and I'm still going back and forth. I'm like, give me the book already. Why is it ghostwriters?
I guess because we get started in ghostwriting and helping other people, and we don't necessarily think of ourselves first.
Okay.
We learn how to write for others. But I've always known I would write, and I've just been waiting on God's timing.
And that's the best thing. That's it. The whatever the will of God is, that's the best place for me to be.
Right.
Like I tell my kids, I can be in the middle of a jungle doing missions like I do. If I'm in the will of God, I'm safer
You're
here
safe.
Than inside of my living room.
Exactly.
And that's what my pastor tells me as well. So it's good. So tell us about the title, Why God, Why, and why did you put this one together?
Well, it's kind of my story. When I was 37 years old and my husband and I were pastoring at church, he just died suddenly in his bed. He hadn't been sick. He just went to bed and woke up in heaven.
Really?
Yeah, and I had questions.
Okay.
Why God? Why?
How old was he?
He was 37 years old.
Wow.
We had two sons. They were 12 and 13. And so, you know,
that had to be hard.
It was. And why does and what I found is a whole lot of people out there have questions. Something bad happens to them. And it doesn't make sense. I don't understand, God.
Amen.
What should I do? And really, so it's a book about my questions. It gives you permission to ask questions.
Okay.
Because some people say, you should never question God.
Oh, you know what? You hear that all the time.
I think that's silly.
Yeah, it is silly because God wants us to have perfect peace.
First of all, He's your Father. He loves you. He knows the answers. Who better to ask?
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that we should ask those questions. He knows you're asking them in your head anyway.
Amen. Amen.
And then what? After you ask the questions, how do you move forward with your life? And that's kind of what the book is about. You know, sometimes when something bad happens, we think, I don't know anything anymore. I thought
yes.
I knew some stuff. I thought I'd be married my whole adult life.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd be a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And now what? You know, and when we ask those questions, we think, well, I don't know anything anymore, but we do know some things.
Yes,
God
we
do. Is still faithful. He still has a good plan for
yes.
us. He's still on the throne. He still has a bright future. And really, so it's a book about moving past the pain of your
wow.
questions. And my sons are now 29 and 30 years old. They're married. They're serving God. They're both in the ministry.
Okay.
I'm in the ministry. God has really helped us. And so the book is about how
okay.
get past the pain to where your bright future is waiting.
Oh, wow. So you share a lot of personal testimonies.
Yes, and a lot of stories just about people I've met. And, you know, there's a story of one lady who lost a baby when she was young.
Yeah.
You know, her baby died.
I can't even imagine
the pain. And she was mad at God. Why, God, why?
You find that a lot.
Yes. And her husband made her go to church. She had other children, even.
Mm-hmm.
But the pain of that, you know, whenever her pastor would say, God is a good God, she'd say, I don't want anything to do with a God who'd steal my baby.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
And so, but then her daughter and husband got pregnant, and a miracle happened, and she saw where instead of this pain, God really was with her, even though she'd kind of abandoned him.
Yeah,
he never left her and
Amen.
Her family.
Isn't that awesome?
And a miracle happened with this her grandbaby,
okay.
and you have to read the book. It's in there.
Absolutely.
In there,
absolutely.
Why God, why?
Well, tell us a personal story about you. Here.
Well, you know, of course, when my husband died, I took over pastoring our church.
Okay.
And raising teenage boys by myself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You can't do that
teenage,
without God.
I have teenage boys, and it does take two. It takes two.
It takes two.
It's like, because
right.
they kind of gravitate to one, and the other one comes in and
yes.
gets on them. And
so I had lots of questions. Why, God, why? You know,
yeah.
all during that. Boys need their father. Why, God, why?
Mm.
You know, what to do when life doesn't make sense.
Mm. Amen. So when the readers pick up the book and they read it, what do you want them to get from here?
I want them to get that there's hope. You know, something bad has probably happened and we have questions. Why, God, why? Mm-hmm. You know, I want them to know there is a bright future.
Okay.
There are some things you still know. God is faithful. He knows how to get you from the valley of why to a bright future, better than you can probably imagine. And that's how my life is, and it's only because God's faithful. And I like to pass that on to other people. They can have that in their lives, too.
Mm. So was there anything in your life, and you don't have to share if you don't want to, but was there anything in your life that was harder to get the answer for?
I mean, there's
so many questions we always have. Why did you get answers to everything?
No, okay, absolutely.
I want to make
not.
Sure
yeah.
that the readers or viewers are going to be like, hey, this is supposed to answer everything. Why God? Why? Why
yeah,
God?
Yeah,
why?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not necessarily a book of answers.
Okay,
you know?
We need to clarify.
Yes,
that.
It's a book about how to move past the pain.
And you share it through your journey and personal
yes.
testimonies and other people's testimonies.
Yes. And it's got in the back at the end of every chapter, it's got a section to engage where you can put the scripture to work
okay.
for yourself. You can make these declarations. My life is going in this direction now because the Word of God says so.
And you know what? The Bible says in Revelation, I think it's 12:9, they overcame him through the word, the testimonies, and the blood
yes,
of the Lamb.
Yes, exactly.
The word and testimonies. So testimonies are going to change things for you. They're going to open things. They're going to let go of things. When you hear, whenever you hear someone getting past something, oh, it makes it a little easier
yes.
for you.
Yes, and there's a lot of stories in there about people's lives, how things didn't turn out like they expected. You know, you meet people all the time. I didn't want my life to look like this.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
You do.
And so they stop there, but don't, because keep going. It's maybe not look like you expected, but it's going to get better.
Yeah,
and better.
Absolutely. And that's a good thing. So are you still pastoring? Or
no, I work at in Tulsa at Rhema Bible Training College.
Oh,
I'm an
wow.
instructor there.
Yeah, I see 7,000 students have passed
yes.
through your class.
Yes,
that's
they
amazing.
Have. It's a blessing.
So do they know you're an author?
Yes.
Do they know you were ghostwriting before?
Yeah, because, you know, inevitably as I stand up in front of class and talk, parts
yeah.
of my life story come
yeah.
out, so they know the things that I've done before.
So has any of the students read this?
Well, you know, it's not out till July 9th.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So
okay. Any review copies you hand out to some friends,
families? I just got one. So
oh, I don't
want early
I'm taking,
no, no, no.
Okay.
Now I have some.
Okay.
But anyway, I
had her autographed, because you know I always get my autograph. And because you never know who's going to be the next bestseller. I'm like,
go.
Hey, I got one.
There it is.
Okay.
You're holding it, the next bestseller.
So anyone else read it besides you? And
yeah, well, I put it on Facebook, and all my students, they've been waiting.
Okay.
Because I really wrote it a year ago, and it's been a year processing.
It's a process. It's a
yeah.
process.
So everybody's like, when's your book out?
Mm.
So I seem to be getting good response on it.
Well,
my students especially are all excited.
And I think, you know, that's something that I think a lot of people need to realize is they're not the only ones with questions.
Yes.
They're not the only ones that have gone through a hard time. And,
yes.
And it's okay to ask God why.
It is.
And we're told, like you said at the beginning of the broadcast, you said we're always told not to ask God.
I know.
You just accept it. You know what? I've always asked.
Yeah.
And I've always asked.
You can't surprise him.
No.
He can take it.
No, and he knows everything
he
about your
it.
Life. And you know what? He's a forgiving God. And the whole thing we do is by grace.
Yes.
It's nothing else. You know, I can't work to get to where I need to be in faith. God can't. You only God can make you the
yes.
man and woman of God you are. Only His anointing will fall on you when your heart's there and you're doing it. So you can't make yourself this. God
yes.
has to do it. And it's amazing. Tell us some more good stories about your book.
You know, there's a story in there about my friend Jeff, who, when he was 18 years old, he was working in a factory. In fact, it was right before he left for college. He had a baseball scholarship in college.
Mm-hmm.
He was working in a factory, and he was in a terrible accident where his arm was cut off.
Oh, my.
And he actually died on the scene, and they brought him back, took
oh,
him
wow.
to the hospital, hoping they could sew his arm back on. But when he woke up, he died on the operating table, too. And then,
oh my God!
And then when he woke up, his arm was gone. So can you imagine being 18 years old, and you think you're going to be a great baseball player, and instead here he was, an 18-year-old with an amputated arm. You know,
wow.
Talk about your life not turning out the way you expected.
Yeah.
You know, why God, why? And so he. But his story goes on. He decided to rally. You know, God gave him a second chance at life, really, since he had died and come
mm-hmm.
back. So he pressed into God. He went to college. He got a degree, became a writer. Now he preaches around the country, and he actually holds the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest golf shot by a one-armed person.
Wow.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about longest sermon.
No.
That's
no,
amazing.
No.
That's an amazing.
And because he stands up there, you know, tons and tons of kids get saved. And so it's just, you know, his life wasn't the way he expected. You know,
yeah.
he had questions. Why, God? Why didn't you let me die? you know, I'd rather go through life, I'd rather be dead than go through life with only one arm.
Mm,
but instead, he, you know, he put his questions on the back burner. He went on with God. He has a wonderful ministry today, and he's so thankful for all the things that have happened.
Mm, amen. So to get your copy, how do they get a copy?
I'd go to Amazon.com.
Go to Amazon.
And there's also a website, whygodwhybook.com.
Whygodwhybook.com.
So you can find out more about me, more about how to help get the word out about the book on whygodwhy.com. No, whygodwhybook.com.
You got that right there. Thank you so much for being
Thank
on the show.
Thank you, David.
God
Thanks
bless
for
you.
Having me.
We'll be back with another great guest.
Amen. That was Miss Karen Jensen. And I tell you what, she is a blessing. And in fact, she has these little videos of each chapter, which when we were at the ICRS, I tell you what, she is the one that I told you that really just touched my heart, because she came back and she brought a Starbucks card for me, and the days were hectic, and you're doing a lot of work, and she just appreciated me, and it's just simple, something that was small but was very simple but was meaningful, that touched me and made me think, that was just a nice gesture, because when you're out there, I'm not getting paid to get out there. We're not getting any sponsorship or anything like that. We're just going out there because we want to move the industry further, and we want to be in the industry, and God showed us to go there, and miraculously provided different things for us to be there, and we haven't missed a show since we started going, and we're going to keep going. But it really touched my heart, and she was just a very awesome woman, very humble woman. She has a large church, and she ministers constantly around the nation. And when we talked and stuff, she just was so loving. And it's a good thing to have. So I knew that her book title, Why God Why, which is just enough to get you in there and interested about what God is doing. And it is good. It is good to look at life and try and see, what is the real meaning? Where are you taking me on this, Lord? You know, this travesty, this devastation, I know you can turn this around. I know you can change it. And that is where I'm at. That is how I believe. That's how I just trust the Lord on the things that the Lord is doing. And we just believe God. We believe God that He is doing some amazing things for us. And He's changing different things every single day. So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you enjoyed just her being a part of the broadcast like that. And hopefully, you know, prayingly very soon, we'll be having more people coming through the RevPub TV. So you can go to RevMediaTV.com and look at RevPub TV, and probably even create its own website and create its own WordPress site, so people can just watch videos of books all day long and be able to find the right book that they want, but also be ministered to by these great, great hosts. We'll be right back in just a minute with Mr. Davis Dunn. Davis Dunn, God bless.
ID microchip cause cancer? For a growing number of pets, the answer tragically is yes. Chip-related tumors have prompted a lawsuit against Home Again and calls to stop mandatory pet chipping laws. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be right back with the story.
Your search engine is watching you, recording all your searches and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy. But it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. Startpage doesn't store your IP address, make a record of your searches, or use tracking cookies, and they're third-party certified. If you don't like Big Brother spying on you, start over with Startpage. Great search results and total privacy. Startpage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Andrea Rutherford thought she was doing the right thing by having a Home Again microchip implanted in her cat, Balkan. But things changed when she found a lump growing around the chip. The lump turned out to be fibrosarcoma, a dangerous form of cancer. Fortunately, Balkan survived after surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. Now his owner is suing Home Again's parent company, Merck, for expenses and wants to alert others to the problem. If your pet has a microchip, check the implant site regularly for lumps. Have anything suspicious examined by your vet. And if your pet is chip-free, keep it that way. A collar and a tag never gave anyone cancer. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com. It's summer in 2017.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact.
Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do with it?
You've worked so hard. You've done what you've been called to do. You expect big things, and then it doesn't happen. Disappointment creeps into your life, and it brings you down. What happened? Welcome to One Impact Live. I'm Terry Squires, and you've just tuned in to the 5-minute radio show that will impact your life and the lives around you. One Impact Live is based on the One Impact Bible published by Zondervan. There is one God, you are one person, and you have one impact. And today is your day to change a life. Why do we feel like we have it all under control? I know in my own life, disappointments hit me when things just don't go my way. What about you? Maybe it's something you've been working on for years and you think it's the most creative work ever, a one of a kind, and then somebody criticizes it and puts it down. Or maybe your child hasn't lived up to your expectations and made choices on their own. Or maybe it's a failed relationship. You know, we've all had those kinds of disappointments, and they are not fun. But we must remember what God tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And I am so thankful.
Amen, amen. We have Mr. Davis Bunn here on the air with us today. How you doing, Davis?
I am very good and honored to be here.
Amen. And I was telling him earlier, he called me last week, and he's like, I'm so sorry that I didn't make it. And I told him, don't worry. We had nothing but good things to say about you. Because we know it's always something simple that we can have a power outage. We can have a bad battery in the phone. We can have so many different things happen. So I've learned just to have interviews ready to go when the guest isn't able to make it. And, you know, we forgive you. We love you. So don't worry about it.
Thank you for your understanding.
No problem. Davis, what I usually ask all the guests to do before we jump into talking about all the books and stuff that they've done, it just tell us a little about yourself, tell us about your journey with the Lord, and just tell us what impact God's had in your life.
Well, I'll talk about a little bit about the past, and if you want to ask about the present, I'll be happy to speak on that later. I originally came to faith at age 28. I was born in North Carolina, but I left and went to Europe to do my university studies and basically never came home. I went from England to Africa, then to the Middle East, and then back to Europe. And at age 28, I was working as a consultant based in Germany. And the Foreign Mission Board had set up a missionary church in my hometown, and I fell in love with Jesus at age 28, and I started writing 2 weeks later. I'd never picked up a pen before in my life, and it was the first time in my entire life that I'd ever done anything that wasn't ruled by personal ambition. And I wrote for 9 years and finished 7 books before my first was accepted for publication, and I think one of the biggest lessons that came out of that was not about the writing, but was about prayer, learning to rely on God in impossible situations and grow through what it means to have a gift and use it to His glory.
That's amazing. That's powerful that you said out of all that you learned about prayer. And we just had prayer right before we started the program. Not all our guests are ready to jump into prayer, but I like this. I like what he said in the prayer. Let God be glorified. Let it light up in a person's life. And that's true, because everything we do, Davis, between broadcasting and books, it's all about God. It's all about giving Him the glory and shining the light on Him. And I'm very blessed to have you on the show with the same attitude. It's awesome. So writing your first, how many books did you write first before you got your first one published?
My 7th book was the first one that was published. Ooh. And my wife was the one actually who came up with the idea. I had been writing for the mainstream and had an idea for a new book, and the problem was that it had a very strong, overt spiritual lesson. And she said, write what's on your heart. This is the way you think. Why not just go in and give it a shot? So right at that point, just as I started on that book, we were not married. We were just dating at the time. I was offered a really big job. There was an American computer company that was looking for a president of their European operations, and they offered me the job, but only if I quit writing. And she said, and, you know, my family at the time was like, listen, you know, you've been doing this for 9 years. If God wanted you to write, he would have given you a contract by now.
Yeah.
She said, there will always be another job. Go in there, give it your best, do it for God, and see what happens. And 18 months later, The Presence was published by Bethany House. It became a national bestseller. It was a the Book of the Month Club for Word Book Club. It doesn't exist anymore, but at the time it was the biggest of the Christian publishing book clubs. And it launched my career.
Mm. And you could have easily took the what was seen in front of you as the obvious choice, a job for all. I mean, I have family and friends
and driving
same way.
And driving a Bentley right now instead of an Opel. Oh my goodness, what have I done?
I know, right? Oh, but I'm sure you went in front of God and you prayed, and it was a choice. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to make those choices. What made you know at that time that you were supposed to write?
There was never any question about that.
Amen.
It's an odd thing to say. I can still remember the moment when I first started writing. I was down in Frankfurt, which is about 2 hours south of where I lived, for another business meeting, and I was sitting in the hotel lobby waiting for my appointment to show up, and I'd had this idea rattling around in my head, and I decided I would just try to write it down. And there was this moment when I realized that this was something so much bigger than who I was or what I wanted, that there was something universal, something eternal that was working in my life for the first time. And I was just absolutely blown away. Even talking about this, I can smell the wax they used as a furniture polish in the lobby. I remember the swirl of conversation and the power and the money that was all over around me, and what there was just it, none of it held any importance. It was just this feeling of, for the first time in my life, I knew what joy was.
Mm. That's amazing. And just to step out in faith and continue writing. And, you know, yes. People don't realize, I mean, when you have a lucrative contract or an offer, and then you're looking at, hey, writing, and you still haven't cracked in. You still haven't broke in there. That was a leap of faith for you at that moment.
It certainly was. But as I said, the biggest element that came out of those 9 years, okay, definitely the biggest element was learning how to write, but the biggest element from my own personal internal state was learning how to trust.
Amen. Amen. I love that. I love that. And when you trust God, I mean, when you learn how to trust, things can be added to your life a lot without all the headaches.
Yeah,
you just trust him really that he's gonna bring it in. You don't have to finesse or try and move something into your life. When God has it, you just trust him. It can only be taught, like you said, in that time of just waiting on God. And you no one can tell you how to trust. You just have to trust. It's something you have to go through in life. And so your first title, that it was a success, and it moved you forward. What was your thought when it finally happened, when your book finally got published and you started to become very successful in the book writing? What was your thoughts?
To be honest, one of the odd things about the writing profession is that there is never this sense of an ultimate moment. It's always, there's just so much that's going on that when these big events happen like this, the next issue is just right there. The pressures, you know, I had this thing. I'll come back to your question in just a second.
No,
but
okay.
I had this thing, you know, we all have these goals. It's like, okay, if we get this thing, then what are we going to do? And my deal was, if I have a big seller and I'm able to start writing full time, then I'm going to move to this place in the Basque Country on the border between Spain and France, where Hemingway used to live, And it's where I find myself the most creatively jazzed, and I thought it'd be the perfect place to live. And I'm going to spend a week every 3 months in silent retreat at a monastery. I have not been to the monastery in 18 months, and we've been living in England for the last 25 years.
So you didn't get to do any of those things yet.
God does laugh when man makes plans. There's no question about it.
Oh, absolutely. But go ahead, brother.
My biggest memory of that moment when the book was released was not actually my memory at all. It was that I came into the house after just another exhausting day. I was working very hard. You know, I was a consultant. I was just, you know, working in business. I was working the 50-hour, 60-hour weeks. I was in three countries every week with my job.
Wow.
And I was trying to hold myself to a minimum of 20 hours a week on the outside for the writing. And I had just gotten married. So I came home. I'd been in some other country and got home that afternoon and walked into the house or into our apartment. And Isabella was collapsed on the bed, just sobbing. I thought, I don't have the energy to handle this. And I said, you know, what's the matter? And there was this tear-streaked catalog underneath her, which she had just opened up. And it had this two-page spread for my book. And it was after 9 months of struggle to get the thing, to find a publisher, and then another 9 months of going through the editing process and cover selection, getting blurbs for it, and all of this, here it was. The baby was born. And I was just really glad that she could cry for both of us, because I felt nothing. I was so tired.
Yeah, no energy.
None.
Oh, wow. None. Wow. So that's awesome. That's awesome. And you know what, though? God knew that he had all these books in you. And you know, I had Michael Reynolds on the show a few weeks ago, and he waited like 20-something years to write his first book, and he's been churning them out ever since. It's something about seasoning that God does in a man and woman's life that adds value. I think it adds a lot of value to what you write when you've gone through life. Tell us some of the inspiration for your latest book, Unlimited.
That was a real unique experience, and it's odd to be talking about this when we're, what, now 50 books. I've had 50 books published now.
Hey, man, that's
still
awesome.
This was an amazing first time for me. The story was actually brought to me by a man named Harold Finch, and with Harold was the film's producer. His name is Chad Gunderson, and this actually happens quite a lot in the film world. As a matter of fact, I had an opportunity this past Saturday to meet Tony Gilroy, who wrote the screenplays for the Bourne series, you know, the Jason Bourne films.
Yes.
And his breakout came when a producer approached him and said, I want to make a film about Taming of the Shrew, which is a Shakespeare play, but I want to put it on ice. Tony said, absolutely, I can do it. You know, anything to get that first contract. And then afterwards, he had to go back and write it. But it ended up being a movie called The Cutting Edge, which launched Ben Affleck's career. And in this particular case, the producers wanted to make a drama based on elements from the life of Harold Finch. And they flew to Florida, and we met for 2 days, and at the end of it, there was a feeling of not just having this great initial concept for a film, but also having met really an amazing guy. Harold is just, he's incredible. Am I going on too long in this answer?
No, you keep going. I'm enjoying this.
Okay. Harold, when he was 40 years old, he had sold a company that he'd started 10 years earlier. And Harold Finch was worth $125 million. When I met him at age 71, the guy was completely broke, and the reason was he'd given it all away. He'd sponsored over 1,000 missionaries.
Wow!
And given seminars on the concept of unlimited success all over the globe. He works mostly now with orphans and young adults in some of the world's poorest areas. Basically, he goes into a room believing in their potential, and he tries to teach them how to believe in themselves by using God's vision for them. So it was an amazing growth experience for me, doing the story, but also just coming to know Harold and his lessons of combining success and God's vision.
That's amazing. Now, how long did it take you to write this one?
Well, the screenplay was not that difficult because we'd sort of hashed out the story concepts together. And so it took about 3 months to do the screenplay. I'd written 3 screenplays before, but none of them had made it to film. So I knew the basic structure of how to write one, and the director was going to do a rewrite, so I could trust him, you know, to smooth out the rough edges. And then when we were doing the filming, I flew down to El Paso, where we had the sets, and I spent another 2.5 weeks basically just bugging everybody on the set, because it's one thing to write a screenplay where you're basically, with a screenplay, your job is to set up a blueprint, and the director and the stars and the cinematographer, their job is to put flesh on the bones and give it life. So what I was doing when I was on set was I was spending time with each of the actors and actresses, and then with the director and with several other people there, basically asking them what their vision for the character and the story was. And I've always wanted to do this. I'd never had an opportunity before.
Yeah, yeah.
But there were also 3 of the cast members were survivors of the Juarez gang drug wars. And so it was possible, and one of them also was from Oenaga originally, which is where the story takes place, but had moved to Juarez as a young adult. So he had a very clear vision of both of the places. And their insights and the way that they saw the changing of life south of the border in this, you know, this very nefarious border region was just a beautiful experience for me, because for them the story already lived. It was not like I had to convince them. What I was doing was using their expertise in character structure and the three-dimensionality of story and film to build up a richer version of the story as a novel. So it was a wonderful experience. I wrote the novel in 10 weeks. I mean, it was one of the quickest novels
wow.
I've ever written.
That's amazing. Now, is it more difficult to work on something that you've been given the parameters of and the ideas of, instead of working on something that you bring to the table yourself?
It is certainly different. And if there are listeners within your audience that are interested in writing as a profession, I would say only go into the screenwriting profession if you're willing to look at it from the standpoint of it being a joint effort. I mean, it's so different from the novel side. It's sort of like a doctor who's been trained as a GP deciding that he wants to go into psychiatry. And I'm not saying that everyone in Hollywood is nuts. Okay?
I'm about to say, Davis, that's a good, I'm going to remember that. I'm writing that down.
Okay.
Amen. It is true. Go ahead.
Well, the whole situation with writing a screenplay is, you are part of a team, and yes, it is absolutely vital that you get your job right, but it's no more or less important than the director or the stars, the cinematographer, the sound technician. Everyone plays a role in putting this into something that is uniquely more than what you have when you just, you know, sit down and write a story. One example of this, if you do in fact have audience that are interested in writing, is it's very rare for a producer to actually buy a finished script these days. Generally what happens, and the reason for this is quite simple, generally what happens, though, is the producer will read a script that he likes and then hire the screenwriter to do a story that the producer is interested in. The reason for this is that generally the producer has to invest a year, possibly 2 years of his or her life to put the story on film. And so really what they're looking for most of all is a story that they are personally invested in. Is this story worth 2 years of my life? And generally that doesn't happen with a script that is brought into them unless the screenwriter is, you know, very famous and has gone in and pitched the idea and the producer is sold on the concept before you start writing. So even in the writing of your magnum opus, the thing that is driving you to become a writer in the first place, you need to see this as one tool in your box. It's not your profession. You go in, you write this, and you move on to the next project.
Mm. That is some very powerful advice for those that are listening that want to write. Now, is it the same though? The same process of writing, or do you have to have a different mindset when you go in to write your novel and write your screenplay?
A really good screenplay is very terse. Dialogue is something that you write, and all sentences are written, and all dialogue sentences are written in one particular way. And the result is that you are meeting the audience expectations on the page. There needs to be a much greater sense of tension unfolding from the first moment, but at the same time, you only have between 90 seconds and 3 minutes to create a situation where the audience actually cares for your main characters. So, I mean, just to give you an example, with the Jason Bourne series, one of the most successful thriller series in the history of film starts with a guy who was discovered by fishermen floating, they think, dead in the water in the cold North Atlantic. And they notice him because the light on his life jacket is blinking. So they pull him in using the hooks that they use to land big fish. They pull him into the boat, and the guy takes a breath. And then the next scene is the guy is down on the table. They're cutting away the thing, and they're cutting away his suit. He wakes up, and he attacks the people that are trying to save his life. And then he confesses that he has no idea who he is. So what you have is enormous tension and a completely unexpected situation where you are caring to find out, just like this guy is, he's desperate to know who he is. He asks his questions repeatedly. And you want to know it also. So this is it's called the hook. The hook has to be landed within the first 2 to 3 minutes of the film. So there are a lot of things that are required within writing a screenplay that are very different from writing a novel. But the vision of the story is the same. The core component of the story is the same.
Mm. That's amazing. Now, this is going to be released this month, right? October hasn't been released yet, Unlimited?
That's correct. The book is out. It's been out now for about a week, and the movie is to be released in 2 weeks' time.
Oh, wow. Where are they going to have the premiere at?
I'm sorry, I did not hear you.
I'm sorry, where are they going to have the premiere for the release?
The premiere, that's amazing. The premiere, they've moved the premiere from Los Angeles to Kansas City in honor of Harold Finch. I mean, that basically tells you all you need to know about the impact this guy has on people.
Awesome. Awesome. Have they had a premiere in Kansas City? I don't know if they
never.
I'm about to say, I keep up with the industry. Awesome. Are you going to be there?
I'm actually teaching. This is the middle of term. The premiere was supposed to be the middle of September, and I said, yes, absolutely. We delayed our return from the United States to England, and then they switched the date.
Oh!
This is the distributor's right. They choose which weekend they think is the best in terms of competition for getting the audience in, and so I'm stuck. I can't come.
Oh, and tell everybody that's listening about your teaching, where you're teaching at, because I don't think we covered that. Just mention it to them if you can.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, but first of all, I have to tell you that I'm not there because of anything special on my side. I'm teaching at Oxford University, but the reason I'm teaching at Oxford University is because my wife is an academic, and they sort of put up with me. Oxford has recently started a new creative writing program, and I'm teaching, I teach the first term of the first-year students.
Amen.
Concepts of prose and so forth. Yeah, amen. It's a little different. You know, most of my teaching is in Christian conferences. I try to give back to the community of Christian writers. But Oxford, it's a little different. I had three Muslims and one Buddhist in my last class. So it's a very different scene over here.
Yeah, it is. Hey, one of our listeners just chatted in, have you always had your accent? You were born here in the States, so they want to know.
Do I have an accent?
Yeah, you have an accent.
What is it?
It's kind of sounds UK-ish, yeah.
Does it really? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the answer is absolutely not. And my wife will tell you that all it takes is 10 minutes on the phone with my mom, who I have to call as soon as I get off the phone here, and I am back into the Southern drawl.
Okay, I might say, yeah, because from where you were born at, and then now I was like, wow, he sounds very British.
I don't hear that at all.
Oh, yeah. Well, we do. I guess, hey, the listeners heard it, so they're asking, hey, isn't he from the U.S.? Hey, but all the travel you've done, everywhere you've been, I mean, I guess you could have picked up a lot of accents from all the places and stuff. Tell everybody how they can get your book.
As far as I know, it's everywhere now.
Okay, so Barnes & Noble, normal channels, you go Amazon, places like that?
Yep.
All right. Do you have a website or any Facebook or anything you want to give the listeners so they
I do. My website is davisbond.com, and the film has its own website also. It's called Unlimited the Movie.
Unlimited. Who's starring in this one?
Fred Thompson is the old guy who actually plays Harold Finch. We decided to make him a character in the story. And Robert Amaya is one of the graduates of the orphanage where Harold is working in the border town of Oenaga, which is just across the border from Presidio in Texas.
Oh, okay, cool. Cool. So you got a good cast there.
It was great. And there's Daniel Ross Owens, who is the star in a television series called Banshee and the Woman. Oh, my gosh, I forgot her name. I hope she's not listening. She lives near you guys.
Uh-oh.
Oh, this is terrible.
Uh-oh. Oh,
she's
no.
From Houston.
Oh, no, wait. Okay, I might be able to help you. Star from Houston. What shows has she been on?
Oh, that's hopeless. I'll call you back with her name. You can stick it on later, okay?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, we'll do that for you, brother. I promise.
Good. Thank you.
Hey, man, what was the I guess the website again for the movie?
Unlimitedthemovie.com, and it's one word.
Unlimitedthemovie.com. Thank you, my brother. I really appreciate you joining us and being with us on the air. As you can tell, I'm a different type of host. I like to cut up a lot. And I make it fun, make it real.
This is by far one of the nicest interviews I've ever had. I really do appreciate it, and hey, thank you again.
No problem. We'd love to have you back again. Just tell us how.
Likewise.
A couple of months or whatever after it's been released for a while, and just tell us some of the testimonies you get from it, and see
that. That would be great. Thank you. I would love that.
All right. God bless. Tell your wife we said hello, and we love her as well.
I will. Thank you.
All right. God bless. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Amen. That was Mr. Davis Bunn, and you can go to Davis Bunn, that's double N at the end, davisbunn.com, and you can also visit Unlimited the Movie, which is going to be released within 2 weeks. They're doing the premiere as well, and we just keep them in prayer, and if you see that at the theater, please go and see it. Support some movies that have some history, that have some thoughts and stuff that put into people, and it's just that has a good story. You want to see that. I really tell you to really encourage you. I'm sure if you go to unlimitedthemovie.com, it'll have where it's showing at, and also the release dates and stuff. So I'm excited about that. He was a great interview. I mean, I'm not joking around when I say it. He was just great. It's not often that you can find someone that you can just cut up with and just really get their true heart and their true nature of just, you could tell he's a jokester. He likes to play around. He likes has a very good sense of humor. And to get an authors out there and anyone that I get on the air and just really get him feel comfortable. That's my job, just to make you feel comfortable. Just to make you feel relaxed, and you, the listeners as well, to feel welcomed into our set and into our broadcast. And that's what we do. That's what God has blessed us with, and we use that gift and talent. But most of all, it just really just set up this time as a good conversation between friends, is what I like to say. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. And please remember, visit davisbunn.com or visit the unlimitedthemovie.com. UnlimitedTheMovie.com and just see what everything that he has. His book is called Unlimited. Get it at Barnes Noble, get it at Amazon, get it at his website, get it wherever books are sold. You'll be able to get this and you will be blessed. I promise you, there's nothing going to change your life like the Lord will change you, and he'll help change it with the words and with the knowledge of what these men have gone through and the men of faith have gone through. And like we're talking before, there's so many books out there. And what I try and do is bring you the cream of the crop, the best that I've seen, the best that have inspired me, but also the people that have good hearts, just like Mr. Davis here, Davis Bunn, who has a good heart and puts out a good product that will be a blessing to your home. Anyway, God bless you. We'll catch you next time on The Midwatch. Email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. If you can, let me know you're listening. Thank you for those that have been sending in messages for Davis as well. All right, God bless you. Talk to you next time.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.